I know you can.
Yes, Lord.
I know you will.
Yes, Lord.
You'll find my battle.
Yes, Lord.
If I just keep still.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, the Lord build a fence all around me.
The power of prayer is a phrase that's thrown around pretty loosely. But Lima Bowie used that power to overthrow a dictator, end a war, and bring peace to her native Liberia. Jenny Rediker tells Bowie's story in the documentary Pray the Devil Back to Hell. It's the extraordinary tale of Christian and Muslim women coming together in the midst of a seemingly endless and bloody civil war. These women unite and take on the violent warlords of both the lured rebels and the corrupt and brutal Charles Taylor regime. Armed only with white T-shirts and the power of prayer, the women of Liberia achieve the unimaginable: peace. Jenny Rediker talked with Anne Strangechamps about Praying the Devil Back to Hell.
Pray the Devil Back to Hell actually is a riff on something that Lima Bowie said during the interview. She was talking about Charles Taylor, and she said Charles Taylor could pray the devil out of hell. And when I thought about what the women did, by the Christian and Muslim women coming together, they really basically joined forces to pray the devil back to hell.
As though Charles Taylor had unleashed some kind of devil in Liberia.
I don't know if it was only Charles Taylor who unleashed it. I mean, Lord was pretty bad, too, and the whole situation had completely gotten out of control, and the country had really lost its moral compass.
Mm. Can you put all of this in some context? Remind us about Liberia under the reign of Charles Taylor and the Lord rebels.
Well, Liberia, you know, is an incredibly resource-rich country. It has rubber, all the Firestone tires come from there. It's got timber. It's got all these natural resources. And basically, there was a war between forces who were trying to control the resources. So Charles Taylor was in power. He had come to power after many years of civil war. And after a couple of years, his brutal reign, people started fighting again. But it wasn't like the Lord, who was a resistance or fighting against him, that they were really fighting because they wanted to represent the will of the people and bring schools and water and that kind of stuff. They basically were all fighting to control natural resources and to control wealth. It was incredible brutality where kids were being forcefully conscripted and women were being raped in brutal ways. And Charles Taylor was very much a supporter of the rebels in Sierra Leone that were controlling the diamond industry and cutting off people's limbs. So it was an incredibly brutal war.
And both Taylor and the rebel warlords also were conscripting a lot of young boys as soldiers. These were the stories, really, that were the kind of turning point for the international community, that you'd get these young boys hopped up on drugs. They were handed guns and machetes, and they perpetrated terrible crimes.
Right, yeah, the kids as young as 9 years old were being forcefully conscripted and forced to do horrible things. And right, they were actually having some mixture of like cocaine and gunpowder injected into their brains to kind of hype them up for battle. And things were really horribly out of control.
Singing! We will go by, go by! Oh, land of liberty!
So tell me about Lima Bowie and the Women in the Peace Building Network. How did they begin to organize and why?
Well, actually, the women's movement actually in Liberia began in the 90s, and they, you know, started out first like by trying to do letter writing campaigns and trying to figure out how they could bring the attention of the world to what was happening. And by, you know, the year 2003, things were completely out of control. And Lima, who had been a social worker and really started working with refugees, and she, one night she had a dream about bringing the women together to pray for peace, as she puts it. And the day that they went to announce to their church what the women were going to do and this initiative that they had, just happened that there was this other woman there, Satu Kenneth, who is a Muslim woman. She was in the police force, and she was doing some work for the police that day and was at the church, and she heard what the women were saying, and she said, oh, my God, this is great. I'm going to bring this on to the Muslim women.
So back when the Christian and Muslim women were first coming together, what did the women in the Peace Building Network actually do at first?
They had a lot of prejudice against each other. So the first thing that they did actually is they had this three-day workshop where they all came together, and first the Muslim women got to say all the things that they didn't like about the Christian women or they didn't trust about the Christian women, and then the Christian women said all the things that they mistrusted or didn't like about the Muslim women, and then they came together and figured those things out. And after this workshop, they decided that they had to find things that they could work together on. So this was actually a while, you know, maybe in 2002. And so by the time that the war, it was really closing in on Monrovia, they were able to call the women to come together, and they sat on this field, which is this field that Charles Taylor had to drive past in order to go to work. And there was 2,500 of them on the field every day.
And they just sat there.
They sat there and they said, we want peace and we want you to talk to us and we want you to go to Ghana to these peace talks. And, you know, what they were doing was incredibly brave because Taylor had said that anybody who was in the street, you weren't allowed to assemble with more than five people and you would be killed. But because they had people from both sides, there was really not much Taylor could do. What was he going to do? Kill a bunch of women? And they all dressed like in white to represent that they were like taken from the Bible, where Esther dresses in sackcloth and ashes and saying that, you know, we want peace, we want peace.
This is an extraordinary story in so many ways. Why is Lima Bowie alive? I mean, the protests, as you said, were an affront and an embarrassment to Charles Taylor. He had had many people tortured and killed. Why not her?
Well, I mean, I don't think that Lima was alone. I mean, they were very strategic thinkers. I mean, it's kind of like comparing it to Martin Luther King. I mean, that basically she represented a mass movement of people who really wanted peace. And, I mean, Taylor's aunt was probably in the crowd with her. Taylor's mother probably stopped by some days. You know, that he couldn't really attack the women. I mean, you can't attack a bunch of unarmed women. It's too much. And they were very strategic about the way they did things. For instance, if men wanted to join them in the field, they wouldn't let the men because they knew that if there were men on the field, they would get attacked.
Eventually, amazingly, Charles Taylor actually met with the women. What happened at that meeting?
It was an amazing, astonishing meeting where the women actually confronted Taylor with what their demands were. They said, we demand that you go to the peace talk. We're tired of seeing our children killed, our children raped. We're hungry. We're tired of being hungry. And eventually, Taylor agrees to go to the peace talks, which is the first time that he agreed to go and talk about peace.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of Network Africa from the BBC.
Peace talks are due to begin today in Ghana between the warring factions in Liberia. There's been pressure on both sides to end a war which has destabilized much of West Africa. It'll be the first time the Liberian President Charles Taylor has talks with the rebel movements which are now trying to oust him.
When Taylor and the Lured Rebels both agreed to go to the peace talks, that in itself was stunning. But then the peace talks stalled, and the women kind of got back in action. What happened?
The women marched to the peace talks. They surrounded the peace talks, and they said, we're not going to let you out, any of you, until you come up with a comprehensive peace plan. We're tired of you just sitting here and negotiating for more and more power. We want peace, and we want it now, and we're not going to let you out of this room until you come out with a peace plan. So the police came to arrest them for obstructing justice. And Lima says when she heard the words, obstructing justice, are you kidding me? And she said that she just went wild. And so the women said, okay, we're going to strip right here, right now, to shame you. We're going to strip in front of the world to say that you have brought us to this point. The press is here. The whole world will see that you've reduced the women of Liberia to standing naked in front of the world begging for peace. So the men definitely did not want the women to embarrass them that way, and they begged them not to do that. And the chief negotiator came and negotiated with the women, and the women gave their demands, and they said, okay, they would pull the women off, but that they insisted that they wanted a complete negotiated peace plan within 2 weeks. And 2 weeks later, there was a signed peace treaty.
By the time we enter our community, children will start singing, "We want peace, no more war. We want peace, oh, no more war." And we just have this train of children following us all of the time. That was the moment for us.
And one of the most amazing things is that there had been many, many, many peace treaties in Liberia, I think 14 in as many years, and they were all broken. So one of the things that the women were also incredibly astute about is they knew that they couldn't just go home and say, okay, we have a peace treaty. They got that peace treaty. They saw what the benchmarks of it were, and they made sure that for the next 2 years, because it was a two-year transition process to elected democracy, and the women made absolutely sure that they stayed on that field, that they organized, and that they held the feet to the fire of all the people who were involved in that treaty to make sure that every benchmark was met and that, in fact, that there were free and fair elections in Liberia, which resulted in the first woman to be elected head of state in Africa, Ellen Johnson Sirleaf. So she's the first woman president in Africa.
I want to hear now, gratefully acknowledge the powerful voice of women from all walks of life whose votes brought us to victory.
That's Liberian President Ellen Johnson Sirleaf, Africa's first female head of state, speaking at her inauguration in 2006. The documentary Pray the Devil Back to Hell was directed by Jenny Redeker, who spoke with Anne Strangechamps. Charles Taylor is currently on trial in The Hague for crimes against humanity.
She can't be-